All right. This is Resurrection Morning, so I'll take a text from Luke chapter 24. I've been talking about the season of songs. I won't quite go to that, you know. I'm just speaking this morning on the power of resurrection. Luke chapter 24, from verse 1 to 10. Luke 24, from verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Can I prophesy to somebody? After you leave this service, what was the stone? What was like a tomb? The stone is already rolled away. When you get there, you will no longer find the stone there. It will have been rolled away. You see, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Verse 3 says, then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as it were, they were greatly perplexed about this. And behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Verse 9. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told all these things to the apostles. Look at your neighbor, say, he is risen. He's no longer here. There was a question that the angels asked the people. The people, the ladies that came that day. And for me, it's very interesting that it was ladies that first saw Jesus. I think Jesus just always liked to break the record. He just always liked to shatter the records. He always wanted to bring the God perspective, because usually most of the things that are seemingly like the record or the norm is the abnorm, is the abnormal. And so he usually wants to normalize the abnormal. Because in those days, a female witness was not a credible witness. A female witness was counted like... You remember in the case when they brought a woman caught in adultery, the reason they can bring a woman is because of the despicable way they were treating women in those days. And let me tell you, if you are treating women like that, those guys, you are not living in the resurrection. Can somebody say amen? Jesus wanted to prove a point. And the point is this. There are many abnormalities that people have called normal. I have come to normalize abnormalities. And so Jesus chose, because he could have decided, you know, this thing is like script. They could have made it that Peter would just be woken up in his sleep and, you know, Peter can be aggressive and he'll show up at the tomb. But for some reason, two ladies, or maybe more than two, several ladies came. And for some reason, they were the first people to see Jesus. But they asked them, the angels asked them a question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And maybe that question needs to be asked this morning again. Why are some of us looking for the living among the dead? We are looking for Jesus in the wrong places, but Jesus is in the right place that he wants us to find him. And this morning, if you can locate Jesus properly, the fullness of resurrection will happen to you. Because you need to understand that resurrection is more than an event. Resurrection is a person. Most times, people, they boil down truths and realities of this kingdom into all kinds of rituals. And let me tell you the truth. There is nothing we do in the kingdom that is a substitute for the person. There is no activity. We are just about to finish 100 days fast now. And let me caution some of us. Because some people think that any activity is a bribery to God. Prayer is good. We did 10 hours yesterday. I believe I pray. I pray plenty. I do a lot of prayer. I think if you ask me, what do I really do as for a living? I pray. That's really what I do. I pray more than I do most things in my day, every day. But even at that, prayer doesn't bribe God. We have fasted. Fasting does not bribe God. What you are to be looking for all the time is the living Jesus, not rudiments and rituals and religious things. Because there is a place where fasting can become religion. There is a place where even prayer can become religion. There is a place where any activity coming to church. There are some people, the way they look at Sunday morning is that once I come to church, it will solve everything. And you are not finding the right person. You are still looking for Jesus in the wrong places. And this morning, why seek ye the dead, the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus and replacing dead things with Jesus? Because it is happening, like it happened on that first resurrection morning, it's still happening today, this morning, that there are people that are taking the substitute, like Fortune told us. They are asking for Barabbas, even though they are not using their words, but their action is asking for Barabbas. They are looking for something else. They are looking for something different from Jesus. But sir, the person you need is Jesus. That's who you need. That's who we need. It is when we have Jesus that every other thing will make sense. That's when prayer will make sense. That's when fasting will make sense. That's when coming to church with it. Because without Jesus, every other thing does not make sense. Every other thing is dead. You have to start from Jesus to arrive at any other thing successfully. Anything you arrive at without starting from Jesus, you have gotten it wrong. And so this morning, I was asking that question. Why are you seeking the dead among the living? The power of the resurrection of Jesus. Resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is a person. You need to keep that in your head. Walk around with it. Easter is more than an event. That's why any activity they do, you know, you can do it or not do it. But make sure that you know the person. Because Easter or resurrection is about a person. In John 11 verse 25, Jesus himself said this. John 11, 25, when he was at Lazarus' tomb or Lazarus' house, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Or he who believes in me, I can give him resurrection too. I am the dispenser of resurrection. I dispense resurrection. So that is why I said, when I said it's our birthday, because the day Jesus rose up, I also rose up too. Because he told me that if I believe in him, what he did, I can take what he did as if I did it, because really, he did it before both of us. Because when Jesus was dying, he was not just dying for sin. He was dying as sin. So he died as sin. So if I appropriate, if I identify with what he did, I can identify with what he got. If I identify with his death, I can identify with his resurrection. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not just, it is not just an event. One day I will rise up after the third day, but it's not just an event. That's why we are not just waiting till one rapture. We are not waiting till the end of time to experience resurrection. If you don't have resurrection in life, you can't have resurrection in death. I've often joked, and this is not to belittle what happens when people lose loved ones, and when people die, and they say rest in peace. You see, that statement is political. Political statements are not always correct. They are just said to organize the atmosphere. Just make everybody be all right. Or say things just like when people say, you are in our prayers. You know that when they tell you you are in their prayers, it's just a statement. It doesn't mean nothing. The person that even saying it may not even be praying. So when you are saying you are in our prayers, you don't even have prayer life or you don't pray. So how can I be in your prayers? But it's a statement. But you cannot rest in peace if you do not live in peace. You can't.
interesting. You can't have resurrection after death if you didn't have resurrection before death. Jesus himself said it before he died, I am the resurrection and the life. So it was not when he died that he said, by the way, we need resurrection. No. Why he was alive? He was resurrection. And as you are hearing me today, some people are thinking resurrection is on the resurrection morning. There is a morning like that when, you know, God will wrap up this whole episode of this earth drama that we are playing with ourselves and all these nukes and all these things that all these people are making noise about. He will just wrap things up and say, you know, in soccer, final whistle. He will do that. And one day all of us will just rise up, superheroes. And some of us, I'm sure some people are looking, my cape. The day I will be able to do this, what I wanted to do as a little child. You know, sometimes some of us, while growing up, we wanted to be one of these superheroes. I will start by a fan, we'll put on a robe, and then the fan will blow the robe. And then you want to do like this and all of that kind of thing. There's a day coming like that. Just make sure you have resurrection now. Because one day we are going to fly. Amen. Oh, men will fly. You know, that song that some other guy sang, let's not mention his name here now. Because some people may not like me mentioning his name. But some guy sang one song. I say, I believe I can fly. It's true, we will one day fly. Look at your neighbor, say, have you bought your flying apparatus? One day, we are going to fly. But Jesus is the resurrection. Resurrection is a person, not just an event. Resurrection is what disarmed he that had power of death. Resurrection is not an event. The resurrection, who is Jesus himself, was the one that through the event of resurrection. So it's not an event, but yes, there was an event where he began to, you know, he resurrected, and there will soon be an event, but it is much more than an event. And this resurrection, who is the person, destroyed death. Because you see, what happened in the Garden of Eden was that death was introduced to the creation project. The creation project that God had death was not supposed to be in it. It was disobedience that brought in death. And so as soon as the devil was able to introduce that death, he was able to tamper with that creation that God had made. And so when Jesus, the resurrection came, what he did with what happened on Easter morning or Easter Sunday was that he destroyed the one that had the power of death. He destroyed the one that had the power. And you see, that's something that should comfort you if you are hearing me this morning. Because the biggest joker the devil has is death. It's the biggest joker. And some of you listening to me this morning, he has threatened you. You will die. I've told you before. Somebody back in those days, I was going to do political something in my college. And somebody came to me and said, they saw blood. And you know, in some quarters, we know when people say they saw blood, they are not talking medical terms and somebody is drawing your blood at a lab. No. The I saw blood means that your own blood was flowing and you were dead. The person told me, I just smiled. And the reason they told me was that the next thing I'm about to do, I wanted to contest as student president then, that because I saw blood, don't do it. And really, I was not decided. To be frank with you, because somebody had come to tell me, I think you should contest, and I'm like, for what? Not looking for anything. Let me face my studies, and this is my, I'm about to enter final year. Let me face my studies and get out of this place. Immediately that person said it, because I was already born again. You saw my blood? I'm going to contest now. the person that wants to draw my blood, let's come and see now. Because I know him who has disarmed death. So no devil will not be in the dark. If you are bold, why are you doing in the dark? In the day, come and do to me. Some devil will come and show up in the dream. And if you are really bold, why are you are too weak to be showing up in the dream? Come and meet me in real life, man to man. Let us face ourselves. Let us look ourselves in the face. He has destroyed it. And what I'm telling you this morning, it may look like a joke, but if you believe it, the devil cannot cheat you. There are too many people the devil is cheating. Even some people that already have the resurrection and the life in them,
They will watch one scary movie and they will see some things that are happening in those scary movies and they will think that those scary movies will come and show up in that. No. I'm not saying that there is no evil. I'm not saying the devil does not exist. I'm not saying the devil does not try stuff. But there is someone that I have. There is someone that I parley with. There is someone that I believe in. And he said, if I believe in him, I will live also. And that live also, he wasn't even postponing it to eternity or some days in the future. Now, I can exercise resurrection power today. That was what he was telling me. And so that consciousness will make you dare the devil in the face. There are some things you don't even need to pray about it. You don't need to say, I need to go and pray and fast. There are many things that happen that our praying and fasting is not belief, it's unbelief. Oh, let us pray. In those times, when you pray in those times, you may not get what you are praying for. Why? You are not praying because anything that is not faith is sin. And so I'm telling you this morning that demand the resurrection. Who took place in the event, the resurrection? The man, the resurrection, took the power from he that was controlling death like a pawn. He took the power from him. So if death had the key, Jesus took the key. He pocketed the key. And the day he showed up, and once he rose up, he told them, go. He didn't even tell them, I'm giving you power again in Matthew 28. He just told them that, look, everything has been given to me. Now that he has been given to me, I am not keeping it for myself. I'm keeping it in your favor. Because all this endeavor, all this dying, going to the cross, I didn't do it for myself. I didn't need to die. I was not the one that sinned. I did all of that for you. So hear me and hear me very clearly this morning. The resurrection, the man, has disarmed he that has the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. The Bible says, for as long, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through that he might destroy. He might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Just in case some people say, he didn't talk about it. No. That he might destroy the devil. So he coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He came too late. Especially if you have now met the man, the resurrection. The power of resurrection. Resurrection is so powerful. Because simply, resurrection is victory. Resurrection is victory. I want us to read this scripture. It blesses me so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55 to 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 to 57. The Bible says, O death. This is a conversation with death. You know, death is a reality. It's a reality. It's not just an idea. It's a reality. And then this conversation was taking place. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? O Hades, some translations say hell. Please go back there. Where is your victory? Hell used to have victory. Who took away the victory of hell and death? Verse 56. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection, my brothers, my sister, this morning is victory. Is the victory. Jesus handed you the victory. So death has no victory again. Death has no sting. There's no bite. There's only bark. There's no bite. When death is scaring you, it's all noise, it's not bark, there's nothing there again. Because, sincerely speaking, if you're a child of God, even when you close your eyes and human beings say you are dead, you are not dead. You are just asleep. Because to be absent from the body, that's what Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. I just changed address. Just like they didn't find him in the tomb, they can't find me in the tomb. Where you go to any tomb of a child of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The victory, it has been settled.
You need to let this enter into you. You know, sit down at home inside of you. Let it be seated, watered down all throughout this week. The victory is here. Resurrection is victory. It's not victory that we will get. It's victory that we have now. Because he says, thanks be to God who has already given us the victory. He will not give us the victory. So that means that now we don't fight for victory. We are in a place of victory. We fight from victory. Now, it doesn't mean there is no fight, but it means that it's concluded. We know the end of the matter. We know how it will work out. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Why? Resurrection brought victory. When resurrection happened as an event, when the person of resurrection happened to history and then there was an event called resurrection, that means victory. That means victory. It means victory today. It means victory tomorrow. It means victory every day. That's why we say victory all the way. Every way you look at it is a victory. You just see victory everywhere. Why? Because it's alive. It's reason. And that's, it should comfort you. It should comfort you. So resurrection is victory. Resurrection is victory. Because death has been killed. I like one part of the artist Sinatra's song that says, every other god is deader than dead. I like deader than dead. Deader than dead. I just like the way it's I like that death is deader than dead. When Jesus dealt a blow on death, death died more than death. Death became deader than dead. You know, some boxers, they call them, they give knockouts, you know. They say they are left hand. If they do like this, fight, sting like a bee or something like that. Some of these guys, will box you. And then once they hit you with one of their hand, you are down, you are knocked out, so to say. When Jesus hit dead, he knocked dead out. So dead is deader than dead. Let that confidence enter into you. You can have this kind of confidence and look at life like that. And look at issues like that. And look at situations like that. Don't let the devil sell you short. Because you see, the devil is still, he's a stupid devil, you know. He doesn't play by the rules. There are still people in this room who have a relationship with the person resurrection. Who are not just observing the event resurrection, but are still living as if the person resurrection has not given them the victory. This morning I've come to remind you, resurrection is victory. Victory over death. Not in the time to come, but in the here and now. Resurrection is victory. What is resurrection? Resurrection is victory, and one of the ways we see that victory is victory over sin. Resurrection is victory. It's power. You remember that scripture, 1 Corinthians 15? It said there is death has sting. So one of the things that resurrection did was it took sting out. Now, you will still see the form of it, but it's not. There's no power behind it. You will still see the form of sin, but there is no power behind sin. So if you partner with the resurrection and the life, you can live above sin. That's what I'm saying this morning. Resurrection is victory. And one of the areas where you can have victory, my brothers, my sister, is victory over sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 14. Romans chapter 6 verse 14. It says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Sin does not have sting again. You are hearing me this morning. You say, Pastor, I've given my life to Jesus. But I still find myself that this sin, that sin is having dominion over me. You are not using the right word. It doesn't have dominion over you. There is a form of sin. There is a sin as a form, but the power of that thing that has been taken away, especially if you really, really identify with what Jesus has done for you. Most of the time, it is more identification with what the devil is doing than identification with what Jesus has done that is still seemingly giving sin its power. Sin doesn't have power when you are in Jesus. What gives sin its power is the power you relinquish to it, either by your ignorance or by your not allowing the power that Jesus has given to you to fight that sin. Because sin must be refused because you have the power to say no. If there is anything you should remember as you leave this place this morning, that I have the power to say no. If I've given my life to Jesus,
I have the power to say no. Sin will no longer make me do it. You know that the devil made me do it. It's not really correct if you are a child of God. The devil can make you do it if you don't know Jesus. If you have given your life to the resurrection and the life, the devil can't make you do it. You did it. It's the power you give to him. And some people, the way they give sin power is that they will go and be hanging around sin. And they will see the sin. Say, ah, this is sin. Oh, sin. S-I-N, sin. Oh, sin. S-I-N, sin. I can't sin. I cannot sin. I cannot sin. That's how people play with sin. You know, they don't do like that, but they will just hang around. They will go and see a guy in the evening. Amen. I'm always going to guys. There are other sins. So amen. If you lie, self is part of sin. But I just use that one, okay? But you see, you go and you put yourself in a place where it will happen. Look, let me say this to you. So this fast, I wanted to not use that example, so that I'll use other example. I did a longer part of the fast, you know, but I still wanted to be fasting every day and all of that. So sometimes I will come into the kitchen and I'll just be working on my own. And some smell will now stand up as a human being and start to talk to me. I don't know. In fact, the other day I was sleeping. And a smell came and woke me up. Ta, 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 ta. I said, what? Say, follow me. As I just got downstairs, I asked my wife, I said, are there two things you are cooking in this place? Is it just one meal? Because there are many smells calling me. Now, if you now hang out too much around that kitchen, sir, you eat that food. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's how sin lures people. Sin usually will work on what the scripture calls lust. And when you are drawn by your lust, it's your lust that will be leading you like an usher. And if you let that lust continue to lead you, it will not leave you as lust. It will lead you into sin. Sin does not have power again. Those deadly habits, those things you have said you won't do again, they don't have power again. Resurrection, this is the implication of resurrection. There is power in resurrection. There are too many people, they have taken the resurrection. The only part of it they are applying is the event. They don't know that there is a person of resurrection who gives it power. So that it's not vain and useless talk. And talk that has nothing to do. So that you are just living as you were living. No. Resurrection changed everything. It was not only Jesus that changed address. When you partake of resurrection, you should change address. We should not be able to find you in the grave we used to find you yesterday. If we are still finding you in that grave, something is wrong. You are wasting resurrection. And so this morning, I want to tell you that there is power in resurrection. Don't waste resurrection. The sting of death, which is sin, has been dealt with. It should not have power over you. I have dominion over sin. I can control my body. Some people will say, well, I've heard some funny story that, you see, when people, some, especially men, give their life to Christ, it's from their upper body that they are born again. Lower body is not born again. What kind of statement is that one? Look at your neighbor. Say, I have dominion over sin. So because I have dominion, I must reject it. I must refuse it. I must resist it. I must not allow it. The reason why sin happens, you'll be surprised, is I allow it. Oh, pastor, you are just making this thing seem too simple. It's simple. You are making it too simple. It is simple. I want you to agree with God that this thing doesn't have power over you. Agree. We will now start working the other, at least agree with God. Because you are giving it too much power. It's the irresponsibility of the first Adam that we are still perpetrating today. That would, what happened here? Excuse me, sir. It's the man you gave me. Excuse me, sir. It's the internet. Excuse me, sir. It's my phone. Excuse me, sir. It's the country. Excuse me, sir. It's the way the ladies are dressing nowadays. You know, some people go up and do all those kind of things and say, the ladies are not dressing nice. We are selling them to dress nice. But if they don't dress nice, you do something to your eyes. Amen. Close the eyes now. It's not your eyes. If you like, don't wear clothes. But it's my eyes. I will close my eye. I was talking about eyes last week, right? About how our eyes sometimes is affecting this, our sonship, for manifesting fully. One of the principles I have personally is one look. The second look, I must decide. My second looks are always conscious. The first look may be unconscious because you just came randomly. The second one, I close my eyes. I close my eyes. Because I will not let what I see now disturb me. No. Because sin shall not have dominion over you. If you know the resurrection, who is the person? The sting of sin has been taken care of. Resurrection is victory. Is victory over sin. Resurrection is victory. Is victory over sickness. There are many people that will agree with you in today's Christendom that resurrection is victory over sin. But sometimes they'll be arguing about sickness. Let me tell you, it's the same bucket. There is no sin. There is no sickness that is a good sickness. It's just medical. I don't want that too. I don't. When the Bible says Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, if you go to Deuteronomy 28, if you start reading from verse 1 to 12, you will see the blessing. But when you start reading down from 13 downwards, you will now start to see the curse. Sickness is a curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So that means Jesus was not just made sin, he was made sickness. Is that what the Bible said it? By whose stripes ye were healed? Because sin, sickness, it is package, it's the same package. And he dealt with it all. And so this morning, hear me and hear me very clearly. The power in resurrection is able to give you dominion over sin. Is able to give you dominion over sickness. Speaking in Romans chapter 8:11, the Bible says, if the spirit of he that rose up Jesus Christ dwells in your mortal body, that spirit can quicken your mortal body. That spirit can quicken your mortal body. Wherever you are and you are sick in any part of your body, let us do it right now. Because the healing power, the resurrection power is right there. I want you to touch that area in your body where there is a pain, if it's something you cannot physically touch, just touch your chest. Just as a contact to the internal matters. But in the name of Jesus, the risen Jesus, we exercise dominion over every sickness in this room right now and people connected with men and women in this room. I command sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. Everywhere you have pain in your body, pain in your life, I command let there be healing in the name of Jesus. So resurrection is victory, victory over sin. Resurrection is victory, victory over sickness. Let me say, add just this one because of time. I could add many other ones, but let me just leave this one more. Resurrection is victory over fear. That's the one that is pretty subtle today. And as I thought about this today, I felt like God was saying I should hammer a little bit about that. Resurrection is victory. It's victory over sin. It's victory over sickness. It's also victory over fear. We call it phobias now. It's victory over that. Oh, it's not harmful. I don't want any fear. I don't. Fear is not a good thing. It's not a friend. Fear is a foe. It's an enemy. Fear is an enemy. The devil uses fear like God uses faith. Fear is a vehicle. Faith is a vehicle. What God wants to give you rights on faith, what the devil wants to give you rights on fear. Just like you book an Uber that takes you home, when you use fear, once fear has come in, you have booked an Uber, it will take you to the devil. It will give you something that resurrection has taken away from you. And so this morning I'm saying to you, resurrection, the power in this resurrection is victory. Is victory over sin, is victory over sickness, is also victory over fear. I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. Pastor, what about the fact that something bad is going to happen tomorrow? The first thing is fear not. But you don't understand how bad it is. I don't need to understand how bad it is. I understand how good it is from the word of God. And the word of God, the first word is fear not. Fear not. Oh, the Bible is full of fear not. In fact, some people will say in some translation that there are about 365 fear nots in the scriptures. Why? Because you need it for every day. So when the boss is threatening your job, fear not.
Because sometimes some boys will be talking as if they are junior brothers of the devil. Sometimes they won't even talk. They will just be behaving like that. You know? Or some clients or some people you do business with. They just behave like the devil. You want to lose your good? Fear not. What about something that is happening to your children? This child cannot talk now, Pastor. Fear not. He has been diagnosed this. 1, 2, 3. The job of the hospital, the doctor, is to diagnose. If they don't diagnose, what will they do now? They have to work for their money. Let them diagnose me. I will now not fear and take it to my Jesus, who has the power that has destroyed everything that has to do. Because all these things I've even been mentioning. Sin, sickness, it's an offshoot of death. It's just branches of death. Death is the I was going to say ogapatapata of them all. I think me that always mention in social media. I think some of social media is entering my head. Death is the Uber, the overall boss. There's sickness there. There's fear. But fear is one that the devil brings to people a lot. And you know why it comes in? Because it's very subtle. Sometimes it comes as care. You know? I'm now 40 years old and no man has come. When will my own come? I just went on social media today. It was a sermon that I preach. I don't mention social media. So I'm going there now. I just went on social media today and my friend, my mate, in fact, I was better than them in school. If you see their house, if you know how people even take pictures nowadays, you won't be putting yourself under pressure. Some of the vacation that people are taking pictures about, there's a trick to it, though. There's a hack. There are hacks to these things. So before we even get to the fact that God will do your own, the person you are even using as your yardstick, nothing is happening for them. Nothing. But let's even assume something is happening for them. And they put this, they do that, they do that. So the devil now tells you that, don't you think you need to be thinking about your life? And so you come to church on that Sunday. The choir will say, let somebody shout hallelujah. You say, for what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes some of these people don't even face reality. Who now come to church, they will say, smile to your neighbor and tell them this is a beautiful week. What is beautiful about this week? What is beautiful about this morning? There's nothing beautiful about this morning. He's already selling the thing. It's a product. He's selling fear to you. And many of us take it hook, line, and sinker. He's selling fear to you. What if your husband, what if he says, that secretary, that person that is always texting me all the time, what if something is going on with two of them? What if something starts to go on with them? He starts to sell it to you. What if this is your child? You know, train up a child in the way he should go. But you know, Pastor so and so, they were bringing them to every 10 hours prayer. Look at the way the child turned out. God will deliver also. And then some people are now playing videos of 10 years, 20 years. It hasn't happened though. The devil will now start playing the game of what if. But sir, whenever he plays the game of what if, you play the game of what is. He will tell you, what if, what if, what if. And I tell him, what is, what is, what is, what is, what the word of God says today. I tell him that. Because the devil knows that human beings, they sometimes don't learn from how he does his tactics. They want to enter the same ring with him. Never try to enter the ring with the devil. When the devil goes low, like one somebody said, you don't go low with him. Go high. Stay with the word of God. Don't go and be reasoning. Ah, it's true. No, don't go there. You can't win that battle. You can't. That's why some of us, immediately it's coming. We first fight it. Sometimes, even some of you have come to me before. You throw me something. You say, then I discount it. I make it look small. And some people feel like, it's not even caring. No, I'm caring. I'm just casting that care out.
Because what Jesus told us, what scriptures told us is, 1 Peter 5, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares on you. So when that care comes, I won't take the care, I'll put it on Jesus. I'll put it on him. That's what I do. So it's not that I'm careless. It's not that I don't think. It's not that I don't want to be reasonable. But there are some reasonableness that is dangerous to you. Don't play the what ifs with the devil. This week, as we continue to celebrate and be in the euphoria of this resurrection, remember that resurrection is victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over sickness, but more importantly, victory over fear. Don't let the devil build castles in your head. Don't let him scare you about your loved one. Don't let him say what he can't even do. We sang that song, believe the song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Don't be afraid to commit an unknown future to a known God. If I know him, I can put my future in his hand. There are some things I can't tell you about tomorrow, but I know the one who owns tomorrow, so I can say boldly, my tomorrow shall be all right. There are places that I seemingly don't have plans, but my plans is God. Like my grandmother used to tell me back in those days, you see, I know what I'm doing. Tomorrow will take care of itself, or tomorrow will be fine. Because in those days, I used to feel like, Mama, let's plan and strategize for the future. Save for the rainy days. And don't get what I'm not saying, though. It's good to save. Can somebody say amen? Because somebody down live here. I say, well, pastor say, no care. Just spend it. We live today and tomorrow we die. What is the meaning of life, like some people say? But no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no need to worry. There's no need to worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for what? How many things? Be anxious for how many things? What about phone bill? What about a letter from White House? Or no, maybe not White House. Immigrations. What about a letter from immigrations? And some people don't want to see that one. What about a letter from immigrations? You know, some people say, see if we pastor, he talks. I don't say things that I read in book. I'm telling you things that have happened to me too. I've been in all kinds of water. All kinds of water. Financial, immigration, all waters. All kinds of waters. But all of these waters, I can still tell you the truth. There's nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about a thing. That song is true. Everything is going to be all right. There are too many people, the thing that killed them is not what happened to them. It's their response to what happened to them. They died before death came. Because fear, as the usher of the devil, took them out. So scripture is saying this morning, be anxious for how many things? Phone bill, school fees, child doing well, getting married on time, buying your own car, buying your own house, going on vacation. Nothing. Nothing. Don't mind him. He's just putting you on high spirit. I'm not putting you on. You are already where you should be. You are high already. He says when he died, he led captivity, and he went on high. And so he seated far above principalities and power in heavenly places. He seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said, you are seated with him there. I'm not putting you high. You are already where you are, far beyond where you are putting yourself. It's the devil that is trying to drag you down. So have no fear. Have no fear. And so as I round up this morning, when it comes to resurrection, Fortunate really puts it very well. There is a choice to be made. There is a choice. Some people are choosing the resurrection himself. Some people are choosing any other thing apart from the resurrection. She told us that some people are choosing Barabbas, but there are some people today, they are choosing to believe what the devil said. And this morning, I am asking you, will you make a choice? Because the power, as powerful as resurrection is, you still have a power of choice. And if you don't exercise your power of choice, the power of resurrection will be useless.
So the first choice you need to exercise this morning, if you have never exercised it, is the choice to be in the resurrection too. To accept his resurrection. Because his resurrection is also your resurrection. He didn't only resurrect for himself. He resurrected even for you. His resurrection is your resurrection. He says, as I live, you shall live also. John 14:19. As I live, you shall live. So there is a possibility for you to be living in resurrection into 2025. So you need to exercise that power this morning. There are people who have exercised the power by saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I praise God for you. There are people that have not exercised that power. I want you to exercise it this morning. And if you have exercised your power to make Jesus of you, as your Lord and Savior, continue to exercise that power of choice to keep choosing resurrection instead of anything that the devil sells to you. Because let me tell you the truth. People think that you will choose resurrection once and for all. Yes, in a sense of eternal destiny, in a sense of going to heaven and all of that kind of thing. But no, in the sense of living resurrection now, every day you have to choose resurrection. You have to choose not to be looking and dealing with the dead. You have to choose the living. Because some people are trying to deal with the dead. They didn't know that you can't be looking for the dead. You can't be looking for the living among the dead. Can we rise up this morning? I want you to make a choice. I want you to make a choice. You are in this room this morning. You heard me. And some of the things I was saying, it was almost like going over your head. How can he be that bold? How can he be talking like that? I can be that bold because I know the one that has the power over the one that has power over death. The worst thing that can happen on this earth today is still death. It's still death. And it has been dealt with. So what can I be afraid of? I'm bold, and you can be like that too. If you're in this room this morning, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. He's not your Savior. You don't have a birth date. You don't have a day that you remember that one day I gave my life to Jesus. I want you to do it today. I want all heads bowed. I want you to put your hand on your chest and you are going to pray with me. If you are in this room this morning and you say, Pastor, I actually have a birth date, but somehow it seems sin still has power over me. I'm living in sin. I give my life to Jesus, so to say, and I take it back. But is there something God can do for me? Yes. In this room this morning, there's power to live the resurrected life. That power will come upon you. You too, put your hands on your chest. We are going to pray together this morning. And everybody in this room, whether you are putting your hand or not, I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I permit the resurrection and the life to enter into me, so that from here, I will live the resurrected life in the name of Jesus. I believe I'm born again. In Jesus' name.